The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're back on Ruthless Aggression. I'm Pierce, joined by Rob and Chris, my special guest, the Air Fryer. It is the end of October. We're barreling right into Crown Jewel. So we'll touch on it a little bit and then go back and do the couple weeks in 2006 in a little solid pay-per-view on WWE No Mercy 2006. Speaking just before we like get into Crown Jewel, you know, this is No Mercy, one of the bygone pay-per-views of WWE. There's been rumor, it's not official, it's, you know, just rumor, that King of the Ring could possibly make a return. I'm not necessarily asking simply about King of the Ring, because me personally, I would love to see King of the Ring just come back as like a one-off. But is there any pay-per-views that you guys want to see return?
I mean, I was thinking when we were watching it, like, No Mercy is a very good name for a pay-per-view, so that one coming back would be fine. You know, like, Armageddon is a cool name. It's really more like, I just don't want the gimmick pay-per-views, and they're doing Elimination Chamber again. They announced that today for Montreal. That one's okay. It is what it is. Like,
at least that serves a purpose. And yeah, every Elimination Chamber match is guaranteed to be consequential in some form.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, when you have a multi-person match like that, it's easier to, like, build around it instead of, you know, here's Hell in a Cell. We have to have a Hell in a Cell match now, which the past couple of years they've done better with having matches that fit in the cell, but, well, like, they haven't for a while. So, yeah.
Doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, if they, like, get rid of, you know, Hell in a Cell and maybe Extreme Rules or something in favor of, you know, just one like No Mercy, and you run a Hell in a Cell match there if the story fits, or, you know,
you run an Extreme Rules match, you run
a TLC match, yeah. You know, things of that nature.
Well, to be fair to them, they haven't done TLC since 2020.
Yeah, exactly.
I think,
but I just,
for me personally, I just want sets.
Yeah, that too.
I don't really care about the name. I think the only name that I want to see come back is Super Brawl.
Yeah.
That's a great name for an event.
Why is this specifically Super Brawl out of all the WCW names?
I think it's a cool name.
Yeah, it is a pretty cool name.
It is a pretty cool name. I'm not judging
you.
Like, I think you got a lot of good ones in WCW.
Spring Stampede's another that they could do pretty easily, I think. Mm-hmm.
They've chosen to bring back a few. Obviously, Halloween Havoc is now like an NXT property. They've done Starrcade, but like they haven't done Starrcade. You know,
Fall Brawl can be something I think Fall that they Brawl. Can do.
Yeah.
Remind me, which are the ones that AEW has?
I think they only have Bash at the Beach, right?
Yeah, they don't even really have it. They have Beach Blast.
Yeah.
It's not like exactly the same.
No, because I know they ran Beach Blast in 92.
Yeah, because they wanted Starrcade and they wouldn't give it to them.
Nope.
Okay.
So they don't really have any. I mean, they could do Bash at the Beach. Why don't you just do a fucking show on the ocean?
That'd be cool. I mean, No, and I kind of agree. Like, that's the thing. Like, just having specialized sets and, you know, like, even taking it one step further and just, like, doing TV in places that you wouldn't usually do TV, like, you know, outside on the beach. No one does that anymore, you know? Like, that's something that WCW always did where they, you know, have the show at the Mall of America or whatever, have the show outside by that big pool, or, you know, go to Sturgis. And that, just everyone's kind of boring now, just in the arena and you're too confined.
Yeah, the custom sets definitely, you know, because they add that uniqueness. They only do it for WrestleMania, and you know, when they do the stadium show, it's not really like custom sets.
To be fair, I think they did a nice job at Clash.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes. With the castle setup,
but I guess the domestic ones they just phoned
it. Yeah.
You know, so I would like to see a little bit more of those. You know, for me, when it comes to the pay per views, I don't think there's a need for a Hell in a Cell anymore. I do think, you know, you have your few that serve as purpose. You know, Elimination Chamber serves as purpose, Money in the Bank serves as purpose. So keep some of them around, yes. But yeah, let's get some of these, you know, knocked out of here. But then also, like, let's see some uniqueness. Like, let's see what this new era of professional wrestling is going to be. And that's going to, you know, include having fresher, you know, special event names and, mm-hmm. you know, what kind of twist is Triple H and Stephanie going to put on their WWE. So I was upset here Elimination Chamber was coming back only because I wanted something newer and fresh and different. But, I mean, hey, you got a lot of time to get that.
Yeah.
So don't get another Great American Bash. Like, if you do any of the older shit, just leave it to NXT.
Yeah, I mean, they could do Great American Bash now, I guess, if Cody would be in the main event or whatever, probably, yeah. And that would be cool. But yeah, it's not something that everyone's like desperate for. I think, you know, part of the problem is a lot of people don't remember WCW, and the Great American Bash memories you have are, you know, the stuff we've talked about where most of those events have been bad. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's the thing.
Yeah, I think, like, you know what, the Bash, Havoc, and Starrcade. I think there's a fourth. The fourth might be Super Bowl. They're like the classic WCW pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. Any of like those classic moments, you got to be 40 plus to remember. And that's kind of like what we're not necessarily trending towards, but like, you know, what we're not trying to attract, you know.
Yeah. And that was another thing. Like, you know, they had Halloween Havoc the other day and it was fine or whatever. But, you know, Shawn Michaels did the media call and he's like, you know, I want people to associate it more with NXT than WCW. And people got upset about it. I'm like, well, WCW's been out of business for, you know, 20 years. Of course they want that, right. You know. So it was strange. But, yeah, I mean, it's just that's really the thing to me. And credit to them. They seem to be leaning into going places that don't get pay-per-views often. You know, they're in Montreal for Elimination Chamber. That's going to be a good crowd. So that's what you do. You kind of hype it up a little bit, and you don't have to necessarily run the same, you know, four or five cities for your pay-per-views all the time.
Get yourself a hot crowd. You're going to have a nice little pay-per-view. Crown Jewel is in not this upcoming Saturday, but next Saturday.
It's a week from Saturday.
That's such an easier way to put it. A week from Saturday in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. How are you feeling about this card? I mean, immediately the main event turns me off. Don't give a damn.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, you at least get me with Brock and Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about the Roman and Logan Paul stuff when it happened. We're obviously on different sides of it. I think it'll be fine. Like, you know, for just like a one-off title defense, Roman just runs through it, whatever, and then builds to Survivor Series. And then, you know, there's not day one anymore. So you just build to the Rumble after that. And then by then you're on his Mania build. So it's a little easier than we thought it was, you know, a couple months ago when we were trying to map this out. So that'll be good. But yeah, I mean, you know, the match will be what it is and he'll just get through it and move on. I think, you know, Brock and Lashley, their match at the Rumble wasn't bad. I think I went in expecting it to be something that it wasn't, and I hope this one can maybe be that instead.
Now, wasn't part of that, like, Bobby wasn't 100%?
Yeah, that too. I think on, like, the first German suplex, he, like, landed right on his shoulder and then took the next seven on his head instead, and it just kind of looked weird. But that whole show was just off. I mean, I think this one's going to be different. The build's been great. The brawl to start Raw last week was awesome. It's a little weird to me that they're doing Braun and Omos just because fundamentally, like, you're already doing your monster fight between Brock and Lashley. You're just doing another one, which it'll be cool. Like, I like that sort of stuff. Like, it'll be cool if Braun power slams him or whatever. It'd be a cool visual. But, like, it's just kind of weird to do both those matches.
And, hey, maybe this is one of those, like, it's not for you, it's for them
kind
of deals. Like, that's maybe the Saudis want to see that. I don't. But, like, not both of those on the same card. But, again, like, I guess everything that I've heard about this pay-per-view, like the whole reason Logan Paul is here is because Logan Paul is a face that I guess Saudis would know because of the internet. And they're just trying. All the tickets are sold. They're not trying to like sell anything or push anything. This is really just to entertain Saudi Arabia. And if that match in this Braun Strowman Omos match on top of Brock Bobby is like just there to entertain them, that's fine. I mean,
yeah,
give me Brock and Bobby. Give me the OC and Judgment Day, which I think is going to be really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Give me something other than Cross and McIntyre, and I might pop in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it seems like they're probably going to add a women's match or two. Everyone's been kind of up in arms about that past week.
I don't understand why there's 2 full weeks of shows.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of things I don't understand about women's wrestling Twitter right now, and I'd rather not waste my time on this podcast thinking about it or even exacerbating those thoughts. So it's,
I don't know if they'll push, you know, Seth and Ali to there. Maybe.
No disrespect, they need to do that on Raw and just move on.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but Ali's stock for me has gone down the chute.
Yeah. Well,
he's not really holding his own against Seth, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I mean, the card overall, I mean, it'll be fine. Like, it's cool that wrestling's on at noon on a Saturday or whatever, and you're just you watch it and get over with it. As far as the past, yeah, like
Ali, Roquan Smith.
My God.
Yeah. good hand. Real good hand.
Yeah.
I don't think he really played the money card very well. And I'm saying that, like, I like Ali. You know, I think over time, Ali will last in the mid-card. But, like, right now, that mid-card is full of, like, main eventers.
Yeah,
and so it makes your mid-card look a little bit weaker. So it's not necessarily that, like, for me, it's not necessarily that Ali doesn't matter or Ali doesn't, like, belong in that space. It's just that your space is overcrowded with dudes that are clearly better than him, and he's not
getting
up to those. If it was Miz, like with the whole shit with the Miz,
yeah,
or Gunther, if he was on SmackDown and going up against Gunther, that would make a lot more sense. He'd be a lot more believable and stand in there and hang more so than with Seth Rollins, who is literally the best in the game right now.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, honestly, like the card is what it is. I think it's the weakest of the past, like, dating back to the Saudi show last November, whenever it was, when they did Edge and Seth. That one was very good. The one in February was very good. This is the weakest of those three since they started being, like, you know, more canon than they had been in the past. But it'll be, I'm looking forward to the build to Survivor Series this year since they got the War Games and stuff going on. So yeah, just, you know, get to that at that point. At this point,
I think they did a neat job on Friday if they're doing the Brutes plus whomever against the Bloodline in War Games. I think they did a great job setting that up.
Yeah.
I think that that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's going to be neat, especially considering I think KO will wind up on that team.
Yeah.
I think Lashley will end up on that team as well. I think they can end up winning the match, honestly. I think the Babyface might have a shot if they beat Zayn.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I think Sammy's going to factor into that Montreal Elimination Chamber Babyface somehow. He's either going to face Roman or it's going to be Roman and Sammy as the final two.
Mm-hmm.
And that great false finish in 2019 with Kofi and Bryan is going to get challenged if Roman and Sammy are out there. Best believe it.
Yeah. But yeah, no, as far as Crown Jewel goes, I mean, we'll see.
Crown Jewel will be fine. They got to add something with a little more zeal, but I think they'll be all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Again, we have 4 shows still, or 4. So, I mean, you know, you got Raw and then.
And we'll know what happens on SmackDown too.
Yeah.
Right.
Spoiler reports.
Exactly.
Plenty of time, but we will go back to the year 2006. We got some wrestling. We got some pay-per-views. We got some sports.
Was we any do
movies around this time, October 2006. It's all Saw came out, but
yeah,
is that Saw 3? I think so.
All right, so we'll start with the music. Staying at number 5, Lips from an Angel. Staying at number 4, London Bridge. Up to number 3, How to Save a Life by The Fray. Staying at number 2, Moneymaker. And staying at number 1 is Sexy Back.
How to Save a Life was everywhere. Thanks,
Grey's Anatomy. So annoying. Oh my god.
Everywhere.
That was like the first of the crappy soft rock songs or like pump you up rock songs that got famous because of like a TV show commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Like, then when everyone start fucking playing Imagine Dragons and then, you know, hearing whatever it takes everywhere, I'm like, bro, fuck off.
Yeah. Top five movies. Number five is Fearless. Debuting at number four, School for Scoundrels. Down to number three, Jackass. Number two, debuting at number two, The Guardian. And debuting at number one, Open Season. We can move on.
Those I'm trying to remember. Open Season, I definitely do remember, though. That was Mel Gibson, right?
Thank
not Mel you. Gibson. What the fuck? God damn it. Bruce Willis. Wasn't that Bruce Willis?
Yes, I think it was. He plays a big bear or whatever.
That's right.
No, it's what is open? It's Martin Lawrence.
No, but it's Martin Lawrence and
oh yeah.
Oh, sorry, it's Martin Lawrence and Ashton Kutcher. I'm tweaking. Yes, Ashton Kutcher was the deer. Why the fuck did I said Bruce Willis? I'm getting my movies mixed up, man.
Yeah, so move on to the NFL real quick. Chicago Bears, and well, actually, we'll do the Bears last. They played Sunday night. So around the league, the Falcons picked up another big win, moved to 3-1, 32-10 over the Cardinals. Looks like Morton Anderson had five field goals, actually. So not
like he's
too much.
Like 53 at this point.
Yeah. New England won 38-13 over the Bengals to improve to 3-1. Back when Tom Brady was still good.
Yeah.
Indianapolis improved to 4-0 with a 31-28 win over the Jets. Peyton Manning apparently had a QB sneak in the last minute to put them on top. I don't remember that game, but seems pretty good. Dallas won 45-14 over Tennessee. Tennessee's 0-4 on the year. Dallas got two touchdowns from Drew Bledsoe and another rushing touchdown from Julius Jones and Marion Barber.
Terry Glenn caught two of those touchdown passes.
Yes. St. Louis beat Detroit 41-34. Detroit's 0-4 on the year. Looks like the Rams were led by Mark Bulger at three touchdowns.
Yep, 328 yards. The Chiefs beat the 49ers just like they did this past Sunday, but they won 41-0. Damon Heward threw two touchdowns. Larry Johnson ran for 101 yards and two touchdowns. Dante Hall scored on a Heward pass and a punt return, and the defense sacked Alex Smith, future Kansas City Chiefs quarterback, five times and held the Niners to just 165 total yards. So a thorough beatdown.
Yeah, there you go.
By the Chiefs over the 49ers.
Washington beat Jacksonville 36-30 in overtime. Santana Moss had three touchdowns,
yep.
The third of which came in overtime, 68 yards.
68 yards to end the game.
And then the Chicago Bears improved to 4-0 on the year.
Jesus Christ, they kicked their ass.
37-6 win on Sunday Night Football over the Seahawks, damn. Which I didn't remember originally. And then
yeah,
why don't I
remember us playing the Seahawks on Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, I thought about it a little NBC more. And it was home? Like, yeah, it yeah, is. I was like, I remember it being kind of hyped up because, you know, the Seahawks were in the Super Bowl the year before.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, the Bears just kind of
took it ass. To them, man. Damn.
They picked off Matt Hasselbeck twice and sacked him five times. Grossman had two touchdowns. Thomas Jones had two touchdowns. You know, found a winning formula and just kind of rolled with it, it looks like. Trying to see if anyone stood out on defense. Tommy Harris and Mark Anderson both had two sacks. So there you go. Bears are 4-0, and we can get into our week in 2006 here.
Real quick, because this is a very consequential thing that I don't want to forget because it happens on October 9th, so the day after No Mercy. Google acquired YouTube for $1.65 billion in stock.
Oh, there you go.
So that obviously is a major acquisition and one that would be very consequential.
I'm sorry, relay that one more time. I was placing bets.
Google purchased YouTube for $1.65 billion in stock.
This is crazy. What was your first YouTube video, if you remember?
Ooh, that's a great question.
I don't think it was the first one, but the first one I remember like playing more than once was like the, you know, Dennis Green press conference after he lost the Bears, which we'll talk about in a couple weeks. It's the first one that I remember like going back and watching over and over. So it would have been right around this time. Yeah, that's...
I don't know. That's a good question. I wish I knew.
Yeah, I feel like think back to like Unforgivable or Unfortunately Two Girls One Cup. This stupid shit, right?
Yeah,
because that's what you
exactly.
John the Joey or stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. But You got anything else there? Good to.
No, I think we're probably good.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Raw, October 2nd, 2006 from Topeka. DX is here to open the show, bragging about what they did to Vince before they go too far. Coach comes out, says they're in action right now. Texas Tornado match against six opponents. So it's DX against Cade Murdoch and Mr. and Charlie Haas and the Highlanders. And DX kind of just runs through them. After the match, they say they're going to throw Coach out of the building, but he goes and locks himself into the office. We move on to Jeff Hardy against Johnny Nitro for the Intercontinental title. Late in the match, Nitro goes for a superplex, and Jeff backdrops him and hits a swanton, gets the win, finally captures the Intercontinental title after going after it for the past few weeks. So,
good for Jeff.
Yeah.
And as we move forward here on the television program, Maria interviewed him and said that he knows he has a target on his back now, but he's ready for it. Maria plugs Extreme Strip Poker, and Melina came in screaming. Yeah. That was a thing that happened. Coach finally left the office and started heading down the hallway cautiously and ended up with Triple H on one end and Shawn on the other. He ran through the women's locker room and they followed with Shawn covering his eyes, which is a great bit. Coach got away. He slipped on a wet floor. Shawn, Triple H caught up to him and threw him in a trash can.
Yeah.
Hydrants.
Yeah.
And Umaga beats Nisky.
Randy Orton's tired of Carlito running his mouth about what is and what is not cool. Carlito doesn't know what is cool. Randy does. And, you know, Cool is already beating Carlito. Cool is being the legend killer. And they have a match. Carlito goes for crossbody. Randy rolls through, uses the tights to get the win. So I guess they'll just keep feuding. A little non-title feud.
Yeah, I guess so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Another ad that Crime Time will be here soon.
Be good. Believe, very soon, in fact, within the next 2 weeks.
Yes. Sergeant Slaughter defeated Nikki from the Spirit Squad. DX made them dress like female cheerleaders. Yeah, you know. Mickey beat Victoria. Mickey beat Victoria to continue this women's title tournament they're allegedly doing. They just do one match of it a week.
Jesus.
Eric Bischoff is here again talking about his book with Chris Masters, and DX comes up and makes fun of them both. So, yeah, it kind of seemed like Bischoff was going to put a team together and, you know, get a little more involved, but he never does.
Yeah, he just never came to fruition, right?
We get Edge and John Cena for the WWE Championship in a steel cage match. Pretty good back and forth. Then Cade and Murdoch get into the cage and start beating up Cena. And then DX comes in and Cena hits the FU and gets the win. And I don't know, it just cage match falls apart when you get other people involved. They probably should have left it with the TLC match.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was Raw.
Also, would like to point out there is something worth mentioning that happened on October 2nd, 2006 that is relevant to podcasters on this show. The Chicago Cubs announced that they would not renew the contract of Dusty Baker, and the San Francisco Giants made the same announcement regarding Felipe Alou.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. I mean, it's like this when, like, you look back at 06 and, like, how bad that team was in 06. It was kind of time.
Yeah.
Know, Dusty wasn't. I don't think that the media was ever fair to Dusty, you know, one bit, because the media is never fair to black coaches. But also Dusty wasn't, you know, Dusty's old school. So Dusty doesn't know how to, like, manage that shit without being who he is. And, you know, it was time. But I would say that, like, although I'm rooting for the Phillies to win, obviously I'm here, you know. I'm happy that the alternative to winning a World Series would be Dusty Baker finally getting his managerial chip. He's got one as a player, but to finally, like, stamp him as a manager, as a Hall of Famer, as one of the era.
It kind of feels like it's probably his last chance. I mean, you know, if he stays with the Astros, they'll be good again. But, like, the deck went the way it did. You're here now. Like, you're facing who was, what, like, the fourth best NL team going into the playoffs? So, you know, no offense to the Phillies, they've been very good, but you're not facing the Braves or the Mets or the, you know, Dodgers.
You're running into a hot-ass team. That's kind of been their problem, right? Like, they run into teams that are just, you know, lightning hot. You know, this Astros squad. So.
No, but, I mean, Houston's also 7-0 in the postseason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, no. That's what I'm saying. Like, no. Yeah. No, what I'm saying is, like, the Astros, they're undoing in the World Series. Always been hot teams.
Oh, yeah.
2019, yeah. The Nationals were just supernova out of nowhere. Took them to game 7. you know, probably mm-hmm. shouldn't have been there at a few points in the postseason. And then last year with the Braves, you know, catch yeah, a fire yeah. in the second half and being what they are. This Phillies team is that, you mm-hmm. know? So it's yes. like you lose a third time again to a team that's just, you know, catches fire. It's just, it's one of those baseball things, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this is your best chance. You know, this is probably your last chance. So, you know, good luck to them. You know, I don't think there has been any, you know, vitriol, you know, heck, you know, we went on to go manage the Reds. They're the Reds. I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, we met them in the playoffs. What was that, 2017?
Yeah.
So, like, yo, good for Dusty. If Dusty wins, I'm rooting for him. If he doesn't, mm-hmm. like, you know, I don't think that his legacy – I think Dusty's already a Hall of Famer when he's done.
Yeah. So. No, I agree.
All right. So, before we get to SmackDown here, I'd like to read off some sports results from the week that included the beginning of the Major League Baseball postseason. Non-postseason news, though. The Florida Marlins fired Joe Girardi after serving the first year of a 3-year guaranteed contract, replacing him a few hours later with Freddy Gonzalez, who previously served as the third base coach for the Atlanta Braves. It was expected that Girardi would take over for the Cubs in the near future.
Yeah, it was expected many times and just the time
since. Luckily, it never happened.
Yeah, it was him and Sandberg were both supposed to be managers yeah. today. And I mean, I'm not saying that they would have been better than, you know, Dale Swaim and Mike Quade, but I don't know that anyone would have been, you know, that wasn't winning.
Former Cubs that went to go ruin the Phillies at certain points. You know?
That's true.
That's very true. It is very true.
I'm glad neither of them was my head coach and they went to go spoil here. But
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, he brought up the Dale Swaim era and like I've so block that. Who was the coach before him?
Mike Quade took over for Lou Piniella like mid-season Yuck. And kept him around. Yeah.
Yuck.
And then, you know, Rick Renteria was probably fine. And then there's a better option out there.
But then he went to the White Sox and then we realized, nope, we made the right decision.
That's true.
We 1,000% made the right decision.
Yeah.
Hey, no harm, no foul.
All right. In the postseason, Frank Thomas hit two home runs as the A's beat the Twins 3-2 behind the pitching of Barry Zito and also Houston Street. Zito went 8 innings to take home field advantage away from the Twins in the Metrodome. The Yankees beat the Tigers 8-4 thanks to Derek Jeter tying a postseason record with 5 hits, which included a double, 2 doubles and a home run. Bobby Abreu drove in 4 runs as the Yankees beat the Tigers by 4. Chiming Wong got the win. Nate Robertson got the loss. And Giambi and Jeter hit homers for the Yankees. Craig Monroe and Curtis Granderson for the Tigers.
Yeah, there you go.
And in the NLDS, the Mets and Dodgers did not play. They played the next day. The Mets won early. You've seen the play where they get 2 Dodgers out at the home plate.
Mm-hmm.
Paulo Duca. You know what happened there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Cardinals beat the Padres 5-1. Albert Pujols hit a 2-run homer in the 4th inning, and Chris Carpenter cruised, and the Padres took a loss.
Yeah.
Moving along here, see if we get anything else. And it's on Wednesday, the A's went out to a 2-0 lead. They beat the Twins 5-2. Let's see what happened here. Houston Street got another save. Despite Michael Gaudier and Justin Morneau hitting back-to-back home runs to even the game at 2 in the bottom of the 6th, Mark Kotze hit a line drive that eluded a diving Torii Hunter that rolled to the wall for a 2-run inside the park homer. And so the A's took a 2-0 lead in that series, and now the Twins will face elimination. The Tigers and Yankees were postponed because of weather, I presume. And on Thursday, let's see, the NHL opened up. Jaromir Jagr scored 29 seconds into his first game as Rangers captain. Brandon Shanahan scored twice, becoming the 15th player in NHL history to score 600 goals. Also, the Tigers beat the Yankees 4-3. Johnny Damon hit a 3-run homer, but the Tigers came back with runs in the next 3 innings, including a home run from Carlos Guillen and an RBI triple from Curtis Granderson. Cardinals beat the Padres 2-0. Mets beat the Dodgers 4-1. That series is in favor of the Mets. And now we move to Friday and SmackDown.
Yes. Well, first we have ECW.
Yes, we do have ECW. My fault.
That's okay.
My fault.
Hardcore Holly and Paul Heyman are looking at Holly's back going through the table last week. He wants to face RVD again tonight. If it's up to Paul, he could, but Hardcore Holly isn't cleared, so he can't do that. He still stitches. He could sue ECW, and then Hardcore Holly gets in Heyman's face, says that if he doesn't get his way, he's going to give Heyman something to sue him about. And Test breaks it up, and Paul Heyman tells Hardcore Holly that Test is facing RVD tonight. Sabu and Sandman are a team against Matt Stryker and The Big Show. Not a very good match. Mm-hmm. Sandman hits a Frankensteiner, and Matt Stryker ends up getting the win. Next week, they're doing Extreme Strip Poker, which they're promising that someone will be naked. You know?
Sure.
Kevin Thorne defeats Tommy Dreamer. CM Punk defeats Danny Doring for what feels like the fourth time.
Yeah.
And then Test against Rob Van Dam in Extreme Rules match. You know, it's good. They do all the cool weapon spots and stuff, but it's 20 minutes. I don't want to watch Test for 20 minutes. Test gets a win with help from Big Show. That was ECW. Still waiting for it to get good. Move to SmackDown.
Yes.
From Wichita. Lashley and Booker doing a Pick Your Poison gimmick.
I really like how I said, I like Pick Your Poison matches. They're doing this on this show, and they did it in real life, too.
Yeah, I did one for NXT. Good stuff.
Which led to a fantastic match between Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez.
Yes. Booker picks Batista for Lashley, and Lashley picks Finlay for Booker. And then we start the show with Matt Hardy and Rey Mysterio against Gregory Helms and Chavo Guerrero, which, you know, they don't do enough tag matches anymore where they just throw singles feuds together. It's good stuff. They did a lot on Raw. The Raw main events were usually six-man tags when Evolution was around. And,
I don't understand why they don't do that. It doesn't make any sense.
Good booking.
How long are we into Gregory Helms' title reign? He's been champion since what, December?
9 months.
Yeah.
He won it in January.
How do we feel about his title reign?
It's good. He's on TV every week. Yeah, I like
it. He doesn't defend it very often, like as often as you'd think, but there's only so many cruiserweights. And like, he's good kind of on TV, though. Like, they put him on commentary or whatever. So it's not bad. Yeah, like, it's the best run of his career, obviously.
Right. I feel like I've been having, like, I don't know, just like, because I used to love his title reign. And now I'm just like, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ray hits a double 619, and then Matt hits a Twist of Fate on Helm for the win. Crowd was very excited for it, so good for them. Elijah Burke defeats Tatanka. Booker's with Finlay and Regal, kind of discussing how Lashley made a mistake picking Finlay, because Finlay's just going to lay down for Booker, and Finlay says he's not going to do that. He loves to fight, which is in his music. He probably should have picked up on that.
Yeah, I don't know what you were doing, Buck.
So move to Booker against Finlay. Hornswoggle comes out with a fake mouse and scares Charmel with it. And Booker and the ref go over to see what's going on. And Finlay hits Booker with the shillelagh and gets the win. It's good stuff.
That's good shit.
Yeah, I liked it. So we roll right into Lashley against Batista. And it doesn't last long because Booker and Finlay come out and get involved. Match gets thrown out. But Teddy Long says that they will be in a tag team match in the main event. And Sunday's main event is going to be a fatal four-way now. So it's not just Lashley against Booker anymore. It's Lashley against Booker against Batista against Finlay.
I guess, whatever.
Yeah. Also, MVP is going to be making his debut at No Mercy.
He is.
So that'll be fun.
Will be.
Savon defeats Jimmy Wang Yang. Kennedy's not afraid of The Undertaker. Michelle defeats Ashley. And it's time for Finlay and Booker T against Batista and Lashley. You know, they're able to get going to an extent. Then Regal comes out and gets disqualified. He sits spine busters on all the heels, but as he's just kind of going after everyone, he takes Lashley out as well. So Batista stands tall to end the show.
Mm-hmm.
That was SmackDown.
Yes.
Before we go to No Mercy, we can get to another week of the NFL here.
Yes.
Week 5. Chicago Bears improved to 5-0, 40-7 win over the Buffalo Bills. Another game I don't really remember, but
they stomped them.
Yeah. They stomped them. Rex Grossman had 2 touchdowns. Robbie Gould had 4 field goals, it looks like. Cedric Benson had a pair of touchdowns. Yeah, it was 40-0 until a minute left in the game.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Buffalo also comes to Soldier Field this year, and it will probably not be. Well, it might
be 40-7 the other way around.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in the drunk, NFL.
Hold up.
Drunk people on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Hold up, because we're going out of order here. Got to do college football.
Oh, yeah.
In a massive upset, Arkansas outrushed Auburn by over 200 yards to beat the second-ranked Tigers 27-10. Now, of course, Arkansas is going to rise up in the polls here because I believe we are still in the Darren McFadden.
Well, that's not what I was about to say. Is Darren McFadden there yet? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he is. I'm pretty sure he's still there because I'm pretty – yeah, because obviously
– Yes.
Yeah, he was on the cover of 07. I think this is the year that they actually get to the SEC title game.
Yeah.
And they lose to Florida.
That sounds
Darren
right.
Darren McFadden, like, there's a lot of running backs who, like, in college were just flat out amazing. That, like, you could not see as a bust in the league, but then eventually got to the league and busted out. McFadden was just so special in college at Arkansas, making school like Arkansas matter. Mm-hmm. Just one fucking player. He just wound up in the worst place possible. Like if he gets drafted anywhere but Oakland, we might be talking differently about Darren McFadden. Cause I don't think they utilize him. I don't think that was like particularly best for him and, you know, getting him ready to perform on game days.
Yeah. I mean, you know? He ended up with a 10-year career or whatever, though. He had the one good year in Dallas.
Yeah.
He's not what he should have been. But
it sucks because he was so hurt, but at least he was able to, you know, have a pretty long career.
Right, because he wound up latching on with the Cowboys and being a backup on the Cowboys, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To give you an idea of how
– he had a 1,000-yard season in 2015.
Yeah. He did, yeah.
What the fuck? 239 rushing yards. Jeez.
To give you an idea of how much the game has changed, in this Arkansas-Auburn game, I'm looking at the box score. Mitch Mustain,
wow.
QB for Arkansas, he had 10 passing attempts.
Wow.
Mitch Mustain, dude who was supposed to go to USC, wound up going to Arkansas and was just not that guy.
Yeah, he went 7 for 10 for 87 yards. McFadden had 145 yards on 28 carries, so still 5.2 yards per carry and a touchdown. Felix Jones had 104 yards on only 13 carries. He averaged 8 yards per carry and a touchdown. So they really took it to it. Those two really took it to them. Auburn could not stop them. Because the only loss for Arkansas up until this point was to USC.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's understandable. USC is one of the best teams in the country. But Arkansas is not going to lose another game until LSU at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And then they'll lose the SEC title game, and then they'll lose the Capital One Bowl to Wisconsin, which is kind of crazy. But they're not going to lose another regular season game until late November.
Pre-Alabama dominance in the SEC is so interesting to go back and reminisce on, and just like how level a lot of the playing field was just like 16 years ago.
Yeah, because it's funny you mentioned them, because Alabama and Arkansas went to OT. In the last game Arkansas played, September 23rd, they had a bye week. And that game was very tight. It was only 17-17 going to OT. But what happened was Bama missed the kick after their touchdown or whatever that they got, but Arkansas did not. So they edged them only 24-23. So it was really close.
Mm-hmm.
So that level of, you know, disparity was not there yet.
Yeah.
That's true. Because this is the last year pre-Saban.
You know, everything flips after that. But
Yeah,
it's just so crazy. See, like, the, you know, Tennessee won a couple of weeks ago. And, like, when's the last time Tennessee has been any better than an 8-9 win team?
Yeah. That's really funny because on this week also, Tennessee put 51 on Georgia, who was a top 3 scoring defense in the country. Actually, they were number 1. I'm sorry. They won 51-33.
During or post-David Pollock era?
I think that's post because I'm pretty sure he came through the NFL draft in 05.
That's what I thought.
So 06, I think – I'm pretty sure Stafford was there.
Yeah, that was Stafford. See. Or maybe he wasn't starting.
Yeah, I don't – actually, let's see. No, he was starting at that point. He had – he wasn't very good. He had 7 touchdowns and 13 picks. He had – only 1,749 yards. So he was not that guy at that point. Yeah, that Georgia team actually wasn't very good. Their top running backs were Craig Lumpkin and Danny Ware, neither of them got to even 1,000 yards. Lumpkin only got 798. Defensively, names that I'm seeing here, not too many. I see Asher Allen, Jarvis Jackson sounds familiar. Danelle Ellerby is here. That's one name that I read. Geno Atkins as well, but they weren't really that good. So, but I guess they were good in college up until that point. That was a 9-4 Georgia team, but they got their ass kicked by Tennessee.
Yeah. Let's see here.
Do some more NFL stuff, because there wasn't too much else hopping in the world of college football.
Yeah, there's not a lot of other NFL stuff. You know, the Colts improved to 5-0 with a narrow victory over the Titans, who fell to 0-5.
Yep. Looks like they trailed 10-0 at halftime, but go ahead to stay on top on a touchdown reception by Reggie Wayne with 5:10 in the game left.
Yep.
Also, the Giants beat Washington 19-3. They outgained them. Outgained them 411 yards to 164, but only beat them by 16.
Yeah.
Don't know what happened there. My God.
The Vikings beat the Lions 26-17 with a 23-point fourth quarter. It's not the game where that was the game where Dan Orlovsky runs out of the end zone. But
no, I don't think so. It's next year. Yeah.
Jacksonville beat the Jets 41-0. Rams beat Green Bay 23-20 and improved to 4-1. And yeah, that's about it in the NFL. So we can move on to No Mercy. No Mercy 2006 from Raleigh, North Carolina. We start with Matt Hardy against Gregory Helms, which, you know, smart opener. They're both from North Carolina. Obviously, the crowd will be invested in both of them. They clearly are familiar with wrestling each other. And I know we've seen this match quite a bit, but it was very good. Hardy went for moonsault and Helms got the knees up and then went for the Shining Wizard, but Matt rolled him up for two. And just kind of kept kicking out or getting his feet on the ropes, and Matt eventually got the victory. So, good win for Matt. Brian Kendrick and Paul London put their tag titles on the line against Casey James and Idol Stevens. London and Kendrick, very good. Having a really good title reign. It's lasted quite some time.
Yeah.
Going to end in the next few weeks, but it's, again, been very good. London does a shooting star press off of Kendrick's back for the win. Really cool spot there. Regal's looking for Finley. He finds Vito jumping rope in his dress, and then they go back and forth, and a guy slams a tray of food into Regal, so he has to go take a shower now. It's Miz's birthday, so they do a segment, and Layla comes out at first, and then it ends up being the male stripper guy.
Yeah, Big Dick Johnson.
Yeah. MVP gets a victory against Marty Gardner. Do a squash match on pay-per-view. You can do it once in a while, I guess.
Fine. They called him Power Ranger.
Yeah.
They're going to unfortunately do that to MVP for a little while.
Vito interrupts Regal while he's showering to just kind of make fun of him some more. And Regal runs into the hallway without any clothing on. And Ted Long tells him to put some clothes on because he has a match later. We go to Mr. Kennedy against The Undertaker. Kennedy gets in control early on and then kind of just falls apart and, you know, they work for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And Kennedy brings the U.S. title in. Then Undertaker hits him with it and gets disqualified and then gets mad at Charles Robinson for disqualifying him. And it's like, well, you know,
you're not allowed to do that. Yeah, I don't know what that was for.
It's 20 minutes. Probably the worst match on the show. Pretty good show other than that. Rey Mysterio and Chavo Guerrero falls count anywhere match. Rey swings from the lighting rig on the stage. It's a pretty cool spot.
Yeah.
They never make it backstage, but they do end up all around the ringside area and in the crowd. And then Ray jumps off a railing and pins Chavo for the win, kind of near the top of one of the sections up there.
Yeah.
So, William Regal in action. Like Teddy Long said, who's his opponent going to be? It's a returning Chris Benoit. They've laid in on each other. You know, no real story. Didn't really need a story. Just kind of get physical, beat each other up for a while, and Benoit makes Regal tap. So Chris Benoit is back. Move on to the main event. Batista versus Lashley versus Finlay versus Booker for the World Heavyweight Championship. Booker and Finlay started working together. It didn't last very long. Later, Finlay hit Lashley with the shillelagh while the ref's back was turned, which is no disqualification match. You don't need to do that.
Nope.
Finish, Batista hits a Batista bomb on Finlay, and then Lashley hits a spear that takes out him and Batista, and Booker kind of crawls over to Finlay and gets the win, which I think that's a good finish.
Yeah, it's a good finish.
Heel to retain.
Yeah.
Overall, pretty decent show. The single branded pay-per-views are kind of hit or miss, but this one was not bad, and that's No Mercy, and we only have 1 week this week because Raw next week is a special reunion show, so it's 3 hours, so we'll attack that kind of with its own platform. So yeah, we're good for now here.
Yeah, man. Who do you guys have
for Booker?
Yeah, Booker did retain. Ray took care of business against Chavo. Yeah, probably Booker.
Booker Ray. Booker, I'm on Booker too. And like Booker's kind of, you know, in the middle of a kind of stretch. So yeah, his best run of his career right now, but then also like very quality work in ring and then barreling in towards, you know, this is, you know, the most spotlight that that's been on him. Excuse me. Like, you can't say he's not top three, you know, most important players right now within WWE, like John Cena and then maybe one of Triple H, Shawn Michaels, just because DX is so big right now. But then Booker holding that belt, even more so than Batista at this point, because Batista doesn't have it. Batista is the big baby face, but like, at one, Batista's on the chase. Two, Batista ain't, you know, the one really moving shit on SmackDown like that.
Well, yeah, Batista's only been back for, you know, a few weeks.
And that too. So like, right now at this point, you know, this is the highest Booker's been on. Booker's been putting in work. So I'm with that. Mm-hmm. Anything else before we get out of here?
No, I don't think so. Okay.
When we come back, we will preview Crown Jewel. We'll do another couple weeks of pro wrestling as we move through the end of the year. I am at Cameron Santo. You can follow me at... Oh, sorry. I just said you can follow me at Cameron Santo. Rob's at RobinNeo31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. We'll have an abbreviated 2-minute drill this week and then another episode. It's my birthday. It's Scott's birthday. We're not doing too much. And then also be a live 79th in Hallis today, Tuesday, if you're listening to this today. As well as the first Black Champ. So be on the lookout for everything coming up. For Robin, Chris, and Pierce, thank you for listening. We'll see you guys later here on Ruthless Aggression. Take it easy.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.